WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program, and hope it's starting off well for you. As you heard Christina say, it's a little warmer today, and it's going to get warmer, and then it's going to be really warm tomorrow. But then we get a little bit of a respite on the weekend as well. So she'll keep you up to date with that. And of course, we will have the weather for you coming up in future newscasts as well. But a lot we can discuss this morning. We have a guest joining us this morning. John Alves from the Feast Committee is going to be joining us, the Vice President. He's going to be telling us, giving us an update of everything we can expect heading into 1 week from today, the beginning of the 109th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament. So we'll find out about some of the things you can expect for that. We'll also take your phone calls at 508-996-0500, your app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We've got a lot of stories that we can talk about, including a pretty fun Aussie story that I happened across. So, I mean, I think most people know that Aussie played this area quite a bit. We had, you know, pretty much all of his tours came through here. But even before he was solo, you know, Black Sabbath played Massachusetts quite a bit. And then after Ozzy started the Ozfest tour, Great Woods was a stop every year, now Xfinity Center. So this area has always been pretty good to him, except for in 1982. And we'll get into that. But speaking of rock, we still have a contest going this week for tickets to see Linkin Park on August 1st. If you would like to go see Linkin Park at TD Garden, you can enter now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy and where they sponsor all of our ticket giveaways here on the show. But we had a whole bunch of people that were entering to win for the Thursday, July 31st show. But we don't have a whole bunch of people that entered for the Friday, August 1st show. So you've got a really good chance of winning if you want to enter now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It's probably about half as many people as entered for the Thursday show. I don't know if that's because they could only go on that day or, but the contest is up there. You can enter. And we've got two more pairs to give away today and tomorrow. And then next week's giveaway, a little different. We've had 2 weeks of Linkin Park, 2 weeks of, you know, what do they call that? New metal. Was that the genre Linkin Park would be in? We're going to take a hard turn into pop next week. And then coming up in a couple of weeks, we've got tickets to give away to the Doobie Brothers. And I just found out from Jackson yesterday, we got some more Doobie Brothers tickets to give away. So we're going to have a Doobie Brothers blowout coming up in a couple of weeks. So we will get into that Aussie story, but you can read it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It's funny to see how rumors spread pre-internet. But We talked yesterday briefly about the shooting that had happened Wednesday night in New Bedford at Riverside Park. And I had reached out to the police for information. We got a statement from them on it. It wasn't, there wasn't a lot of information in it, we'll say. Including they didn't even confirm that it was a teenager at first. But we also had the statement put out by Scott Pemberton, the Ward 2 City Council candidate. And so when I was going to put some of that in the story. And so I reached out to Ward 2 Councilor Maria Giesta. I sent her a text to see if she wanted to provide a statement for the story. She did not respond to me. She doesn't respond to me anymore because she's upset about the things that Chris McCarthy says about her on the air. And I don't know what that has to do with me. But whatever, she put out a statement later on through the city council office. So if you didn't see that in the original version of the story, the statement is now in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But I'll leave it at that. But the investigation is ongoing into that situation. And I thought it was, I mentioned this on the air yesterday, but I thought it was very interesting that the New Bedford Police Department said, you know, stay tuned to X for any updates. It looks like they're going to be utilizing that more to disseminate information. I mean, they've already been using it. They do a great job on social media of, you know, sharing some stuff about the department, sharing videos and officer profiles and things like that. And then when they do provide information to us, the media, they also post it very quickly to their own socials as well. And I think that's what goes on with a lot of these law enforcement agencies now. Is that's where we're going to get this information. We can put in a request for more info, but before they even reply to us, we can check and see that it's been posted to their social media. So if you want to follow along with them as well, you could do that on Facebook and Twitter, and I don't know if they're on Instagram. But as of right now, you know, no further information. I did see a former city councilor had posted on social media that they took issue with a candidate putting out a statement on something like this and utilizing it for political purposes. I don't know how you feel about that, but you could let me know, 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But I think the important thing is the people want to hear from someone when something like that takes place. And we've talked about this before, you know, what is the need for elected officials to stand up and say, yes, there was a shooting, if that's all that they can say? You know, if there's no information that they can disseminate more than the police have already given out because the investigation is ongoing, what is the value of having an elected official like the mayor or the ward counselor or a counselor at large or the council president or anybody, you know, in such a position standing up there and repeating what we already know? But the fact is, people, voters, do like that. They like to see that elected official is engaged and cares and is just as outraged about what went on as you are. And I get it. I know it's hard. You've got, you know, people have day jobs that they do in addition to being city councilors, or there's other things that are going on in the course of the day, but I'd be on top of this stuff, especially if I knew someone was also going to be that was running against me. The other part of it, too, is sometimes those elected officials know more than the police have publicly released, and that can be a tightrope to walk because you don't want to get up there in front of some cameras and microphones and say the wrong thing. Give out information that the police haven't disseminated yet and possibly compromise the investigation. But I think a simple, you know, we're not, I think Councilor Giesta's statement that she did put out was, well, you know what, let me read it to you. I think that'd be fair since I read Scott Pemberton's statement yesterday. So this is what she put out yesterday morning. She said, "I am heartbroken by the recent shooting that occurred in Riverside Park. My prayers are with the victim, his family, and the entire community impacted by the senseless act of violence. As your ward counselor, I remain committed to working closely with the New Bedford Police Department and programs like the New Bedford Shannon Outreach Partnership to prevent violence and provide support to our at-risk youth. Together, we are taking proactive steps to ensure the safety of all residents and to build a stronger, safer ward, too." And I will just throw this out there, Councilor Giesta, if you're listening, and I guess that you do, or someone will at least pass the message on. But if you want to come on and talk about those steps, I'd be happy to have you. I mean, obviously, you know, what you can talk about. But if you want to talk about the things that are going on in the ward, you know, and if you don't, obviously, don't want to go on with Chris McCarthy, but you can come on with me. I think I've always been fair to all of the counselors. I always say, you know, they can call in anytime they want, unless I have a scheduled guest. They've got the VIP line. If they don't, they've got my number, and they can text me and let me know that they're calling in on the VIP line. I'll go right to them. I mean, you can ask Counselor Gomes. He's done it. Counselor Abreu. But again, you know, it all depends on what they can say too. Sometimes, because especially with an ongoing investigation, it might be better to not say anything at all. But a simple, "We hear you. We're, you know, I'm concerned as well," goes a long way. Let's take a call here before we go take a break. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. You know, I'm sure, I don't know at this hour if there are people, you know, a lot of people listening or not, but you know, I have to call about all this. It really infuriates me because, you know, I live in Ward 2. And, you know, I've lived here all my life in Ward 2. And let's just say I've lived here almost 60 years in this ward. And granted, you know, when I was young and a kid, you know, I really didn't pay attention to politics and who the city councilors were that, you know, were assigned to this ward. But, you know, I've lived in my older years, I've lived through quite a few of them that I got to know. I voted for and started to really pay attention to politics. And, you know, with the Kazira and the Steve Martins and a couple of others, you know, the first couple of years that they got elected to represent Ward 2, you know, they were good. But then as time went on and they got reelected and reelected and they started to get other interests, you know, Ward 2 really did change a lot. And I mean a lot. And then, you know, you get other new people that come in, like Maria Giesta, who really has to pick up the brunt of what Ward 2, you know, how it changed. And, you know, as a friend of hers, I'm not close to her, but as a friend of hers, I have to tell you that it really infuriates me now that I'm hearing, because it's this year, it's election time, and someone who maybe is a friend of somebody, you know, who's on the radio, you know, beating her up like there's no tomorrow. When you compare her to also other city councilors of the city that represent the city, you know, I don't know what the badgering is about with her, because, again, is she perfect? No, but in my experience, and a lot of people that I know that live in this ward, that when they call her, you know, she calls, she may not call back right away, but she does call back. And she'll, you know, even get in her car, go to the area of whatever the issue is, you know, call the various city departments to try to, and then get back to you. Now, as far as whatever happened with the, you know, and again, I'm not being insensitive, because yes, you know, we had a death that occurred, homicide, whatever you want to call it, because we don't know yet at this point, at Riverside. But
these were non-life-threatening injuries.
Okay, but my thing is it just Ward 2 that we have shootings in? Is it just Ward 2 that, you know, somebody gets killed? No, we've been having, you know, I mean, let's just keep thinking about, you know, the South End, the West End, you know, okay, now, so this time it happened in Ward 2. So because it's election year, now we're, you know, trying to, and somebody's running against her, because again, I don't know who this Scott is, but, you know, it's like everything. You know, when you're new and you want to run for election, for a position, you promise the people the moon and everything else. And then when you're in there, you know, you drop the ball and you don't come through with all the promises that you made. Now, that's my opinion based on, you know, what I've lived through in this ward, like I said, for over the last 60 years. So it just, you know, and maybe because people are always saying, well, you know, she doesn't want to, you know, go on the radio. She, you know what? Maybe she does it because maybe she just feels that the residents of Ward 2 who really go out and vote, because we know that if there's a low percentage of voters in the city, okay, it's not like, you know, 50% of the people vote. She probably figures, you know what, I don't have to go on the radio and justify myself in the job that I do, because, you know, the residents in my ward who actually vote know what I do for Ward 2. So I really think that let's stop the badgering of a person's personality and let's focus on the issues and what they do and what they don't do. And I think people would have more respect for the radio hosts who, you know, come on the radio or on the radio and doing that. But again, it just infuriates me because it's election time. And now all of a sudden, yeah, you have new people trying to run against other people. And now because, you know, we had a homicide on Riverside, Ward 2, now we're going to, you know, make a big thing about it, that the city councilor was responsible for that, that they're not babysitting people, you know, whether...
I don't think anybody's blaming her for it, but, I mean, I will say this, it's been more than just this. I mean, we've had a number of homicides in, again, this was non-life-threatening injuries, but there's been a number of homicides in Ward 2 over the last couple of years.
All right, well, I mean, I don't know, maybe you're not, you're too young to remember, but did we not have big issues in the West End? Also back in, I remember back in the 80s.
Well, even just a few years ago, there was a whole rash of shootings that happened in the West End.
Right, and back in the 80s, I forget which housing. It was the one over there on Kempton Street, down at the bottom there, Kempton Street. I don't know if that's United Front. I don't know what the name of that that project area is there. But I remember back in the 80s, I mean, it was things. There were a lot of homicides and, like, you know, like major issues that went on over there. I mean, and I think I don't know if Brian Gomes at that time was the ward counselor or if he's always been counselor at large. But I remember they would badger Brian Gomes about that because they kept saying, you know, that was his area. And so I know I remember the whole Brian Gomes thing. I mean, he got butchered back then in the 80s about that. But anyway, you know, that I'm just calling. That's my opinion. It just, like I said, it really infuriates me that, you know, people, if you're going to run, you know, against somebody, number one, you know, don't be badgering the person you're running against. Number two, you know, educate yourself and make your points about what you're going to do or what you're going to try to do for the ward. And then when, if you do get elected, you know, now just because you got elected, make sure you do what you said you were going to do. Because if you're not, then don't promise people anything. So anyway, that's my opinion. You have a good day, Tim. Okay.
You as well. Take care. All right. I've got to get a break in the news. We're a little bit behind, but if you want to react, 508-996-0500, we will be right back.
Brian Koberger sentenced in the Idaho College murders. Trump wants the U.S. to be the leader in AI and new feature for women who use Uber.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Brian Koberger will spend the rest of his life in prison without parole for the murders of four college students in Idaho. Koberger admitted to the 2022 murders in a plea deal to avoid the death penalty. He also doesn't have to explain his motive for the killing. Family members of the victims read impact statements while Koberger sat in the courtroom. President Trump wants America to be the world leader in AI.
As President of the United States, I'm here today to declare that America is going to win it. We're going to work hard. We're going to win it.
Trump addressed a summit in Washington, D.C. yesterday, where he's unveiling his AI action plan for the U.S., including three main parts: accelerating innovation, building out AI infrastructure, and making American hardware and software the standard AI platform. Trump also wants to cut down on regulatory red tape when it comes to building energy plants to power the growing technology. Jeffrey Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell is being formally subpoenaed by the House Oversight Committee.
The letter signed by committee chair James Comer says Maxwell is to be deposed on August 11th at Federal Correctional Institution Tallahassee. This comes as lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have put pressure on the Trump administration to release more files related to Epstein. Maxwell is serving a 20-year prison sentence after being convicted on sex trafficking charges in 2021. I'm Brian Shook.
What officials are calling an ambush shooting has left three Ohio police officers wounded. The officers were on patrol in Lorain, which is west of Cleveland, yesterday afternoon when a man opened fire on them with a high-powered rifle. Two of the officers are critical. The suspect is dead. It's not known if he died from return gunfire or shot and killed himself. Police are still investigating. A missing graduate student in Wisconsin has been found dead. Officials said the body of 22-year-old Elliot Hines was found in the Mississippi River on Wednesday. She had been missing since Sunday when she was last seen walking in La Crosse. Her body was discovered more than 12 miles from where she was last seen. Police are investigating her death and are waiting at results of an autopsy. Hines was a local university student. Kamala Harris may not have an easy path to the governor's mansion in California.
Former vice president has said that she'll make a decision by the end of summer, which is fast approaching, and Democratic donors are ready to shell out some big bucks. While most recent polls say Harris would have no problem winning if the vote was today, some strategists say her name recognition may not be enough to glide to victory. Some political experts are now saying that the potential challengers, both Democrats and Republicans, will use her failed presidential bid and possible Biden health cover-up as ammunition. I'm Jason Campadonia.
Uber is launching a new feature in the U.S. that pairs women drivers and riders.
The rideshare company will begin piloting the feature in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Detroit next month, marking its latest move to address safety on the platform. The company said the rider's preference isn't guaranteed, but the feature increases the chances women will be paired in the app. Uber also said it tested the feature in countries including France, Germany, and Argentina. I'm Matt Mattinson.
WBSM Sports.
It took 11 innings, but the Red Sox beat the Phillies 9-8 last night. The Sox are off tonight. They travel to Los Angeles tomorrow to take on the Dodgers at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Good Thursday morning. Temperatures in the low to mid-60s as we wake up. A little bit warmer than the last 2 days here for the South Coast, and that goes for the afternoon as well. We have temperatures this afternoon right around 80 for the coastline, and then as you head inland, we're looking at the low to mid-80s, but with the humidity and with the sun, it's going to feel like we're closer to the upper 80s, even low 90s at times. That's just the start, though. Just you wait as we get into Friday. A little hint as to what's ahead. It's going to feel like we're close to 100 on Friday afternoon, so keep that in mind. Drink plenty of water. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Shalhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. That is, of course, Culture Club, Boy George, Karma Chameleon. And when I was younger, I didn't know what karma was, so I didn't know that that was what they were saying. I thought it was become a chameleon. And I was like, well, that would be kind of cool, having the ability to disguise yourself like that. Anyway, by the way, there may be a strike of the concession workers at Fenway Park. Some of the workers, the union for Aramark, set a strike deadline. And so just keep that in mind if you are planning on heading up to a Red Sox game or any of the Fenway concerts in the near future. Keep an eye on that because that may have an effect on your ability to get, you know, everything from beers and hot dogs to a bottle of water. Also, the New Bedford Police Department says that they have captured the alleged Pokemon thief. On July 8th, someone broke into First Edition Collectibles on Purchase Street and stole over $100,000 worth of highly collectible Pokemon cards. So police were able to recover the cards and capture a suspect. Apparently, this person was caught trying to sell and try to sell them locally, I guess, in Taunton. So, yeah, you weren't going to get away with it because what were you going to do? It's like when you steal high-end art, what are you going to do with that high-end art? You've got to sit on it unless you know a fence that can move it. But I just don't know why they thought they were going to get away with that. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I want to say Mike Roberts is doing a great job.
Thank you.
I want you to pass that on to him.
Yes.
He's a true pro. And as far as our city is concerned, I've lived here for many, many years. And I've never seen the quality of life go down. we're paying higher and higher taxes all the time, and the water and sewer, and we've me and many others who pay property taxes and with businesses have complained, but we've noticed we're being treated as third-class citizens. And I respect District Attorney Tom Quinn III, who said that Acushnet Avenue is Latin King territory. And he's a man with integrity, and he's doing a phenomenal job, and I trust what he's telling me. Now, Maria Giesa, and she's afraid to come on. Tim, I think you're probably out of all the talk show hosts, and I love you all. You're very nice. You know, whether it was the mayor or whether it's Shane Burgo, I don't know what she's afraid of. She's afraid of the voter, the taxpayer.
I mean, I get if you're upset with, you know, the way you're being handled on another show, but don't blame me for that, because, I mean, if I get into an argument with one of the city councilors, I'm not going to then stop talking to her because I get into an argument with, say, you know, Council President Burgo.
You know what it is, Tim? I believe they don't want to admit that there's a gang problem in our city, especially among some of the youth, and how they get involved with gangs. I think that's what it is. And somebody brought this up, I believe, yesterday. I don't know if it was with Barry or with Chris, about Mayor Mitchell. When Police Chief Joe Cordero, the mayor at one point said it's very safe to walk down Sawyer Street, North Front Street, but yet he was accompanied by a non-police officer, which was the police chief, which... it just comes to tell you how safe is that. At some point, the mayor even said that he would trust his daughter and the daughter's friend to walk down Sawyer Street and North Front Street. It's many of those that I know, family members and friends, they're afraid to walk down North Front Street and Sawyer Street in broad daylight, never mind at night.
I mean, I'm in that area quite a bit, and, you know, I wouldn't say that I'd be afraid to walk down the street, but I also think that, you know, turning your head and ignoring the fact that there is a gang problem isn't the way to go.
No, it's not, and we need to shed a spotlight on it. Not only that, to have a strategic plan to eliminate that danger in our city, because, I mean, innocent people just going for, you know, a daily walk can be caught in a crossfire. And we know of, you know, bullets going through people's homes and cars. And, you know, she should be out there in the forefront and saying, look, I got a plan. This is my plan, and I want to work with the police department. But just to send you an email or whatever it is and then go back into a shell, it's not the right way to go.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the radio's here for her. She can come on anytime she wants with me and address it for sure.
Yeah, you know, Chris says, you know, Marie Giesta, she's fallen asleep at the switch. It's because she doesn't want to come out and speak publicly. What is she afraid of? Think about it.
The more
you remain silent, you're like, well, you know what? I'm just going along with whatever's going on. You're not going to win the next election. You got to be proactive. Hands on. And we're paying a lot of taxes. And for the taxes that we're paying and all the other fees and the way we're being treated as third class citizens and our quality of life going down, I've never seen the city the way it is now under Mayor Mitchell and the city council that we, and many of them have been there over, you know, 15 some cases. Brian Gomes probably the 30, close to 30, if not more, on the city council, and our city's going, you know, downhill, and I don't see it turning around.
Well, hopefully we can inspire a little bit of confidence in the city here going forward, because I don't think
you know,
this is...
I hope, you know, with Sean Oliver and Ian Abreu, even Joe Lopes and Leo Choquette. I mean, I'm not throwing in the towel, but at some point you say, you know, maybe Florida's looking a lot better every day, and just leave. But, you know, I got family here and friends, and, you know, I just don't want to pick up and leave, but it's you know, it's getting hotter and hotter. Let me just put it that way.
No, I understand. I got to hold you there. I got to take a break.
All right, Tim.
Thank you for the call. Caller, hang on. I will take you as soon as we come back from this break. We will be right back. And let's take a call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Stafford.
How you doing?
Good. You know, I was listening to Betty Richards' show yesterday and brought up something that I was interested in. And I called in, and it was late. It was late, so I didn't, you know, he went off, program went off, but I couldn't get in what I wanted to say. But, you know, yesterday, Barry said that he tried to reach, you know, a couple of the city councilors, and nobody got back to him. Okay, that's the funny part about it. You know, you got guys on there like Brian Gome, and, you know, I just want to say it to everybody. He's our public safety guy besides. You know, he talks all these for the cops and everything. He brought up the incident and nobody knew what was going on with the officer that's not a citizen or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a police officer, which definitely was, I don't know if it has been straightened out. Nobody really knows what's going on. But I just find it weird that Barry calls, says for them to call in. You know, and I don't want to mention any names, but he said he called three city councilors or something. And nobody got back to him. But Brian Gomes is our public safety guy that says he's out there in the streets late at night protecting us. You know, why wouldn't somebody like that call in and protect us and tell us what's going on? Because he shoots all the, says he knows all the cops and everything. And you know what's funny? The only person that attacked him was Little Chiquette. You know, but at the end, when I was waiting to be put on, Barry said that Little Chiquette's the only person that touched him, you know, because he called in to find out what's going on and everything. You know, he tried to get the information.
I mean, it's possible that the counselors didn't have an answer for him and they wanted to get an answer before they came on with him, but they, you know, you can just write back and say, let me look into that, I'll get back to you.
Right, that's all I'm saying. At least Leo did it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I just got a kick out of Brian Gome, showboating. Like I said, I'm still waiting for him to come. What he told you, that he wants to clear his name. He's a public safety guy. Why isn't he calling in and telling us why he got fired out of the hospital? Hospitals don't fire people for no reason.
I'll say this, whenever I've reached out to Counselor Gomes for something, you know, news-related, he's always gotten back to me. So I find it a little, you know, strange that he didn't get back to Barry.
Like the gentleman just said to you, maybe they're afraid with everybody else because you do let, you know, you're more loose to let people talk. Except one time when you hung up on me. But anyway, I do apologize. You're laughing.
We've moved past that.
Huh?
We've moved past that.
Yeah, well, of course we have because we talk. The other one, you know what I mean? So maybe they're afraid to go to any other sport. They're still... They should be going to, they're there for the people.
And we're free advertising for you to help spread your message. I'm not doing this because I'm not trying to hang up on you here, Gilly, but I got a break here. I got to get in.
Okay. Can I wait and get off so I can finish what I was going to say?
If you want to hang on, yeah, I'll hold you on until after the news.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let me get this break in. We'll be right back.